Good morning, or good morning, good evening. Whew. Yeah, we can get started right now, wrap up. So this evening, as we're continuing on, going over the fruit of the Spirit, if you have your Bible with you, you can go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5. We've been camped out on this verse for quite a while. It's been wonderful, really, to take some time to look at these individual fruits and to consider, again, what it means to have God work in us and to produce in us character that is like His own. And so we're going to begin just by reading Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, beginning verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you that we are completely dependent on you for so much, and that we look so often to ourselves and to our own abilities that try to create in ourselves something good. But Father, all good things are from you. And as we consider the work that you do in us tonight, as we consider the fruit of the Spirit, Father, that you would teach our hearts to be gentle, and that in the ways that we interact with those around us, that it be marked by that gentleness that is honoring and glorifying to you. Father, that you'd make in us a reflection of you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just a moment ago, again, as Micah called for someone to read, and Carol volunteered, and Micah began kind of coaching her on the things that he wanted her to do, and as she responded, you know, somewhat hesitantly, but, you know, yes, sir, I'll go ahead and make these adjustments. I was like, well, I can just like close my Bible and be done. Because again, in the way that he approached and directed her and the way that she responded is everything what we're going to talk about tonight as far as gentleness is concerned. That there is a spirit and a way of being that is not harsh, especially when we're in a position of authority, and a way of being that is not resistant, doesn't buck up against the system when we're in that place or position of submission to authority. And that is, I believe, what Paul is pointing out here. Again, the nuance and the range of a word, sometimes it varies, especially as we've been studying over the fruit of the Spirit. I think it's sometimes difficult whenever we take a passage like this because you have so much packed into one or two verses. And again, the benefit of going over this fruit of the Spirit for several weeks has been the ability to slow down and to consider throughout the New Testament, even throughout the Bible, what is mentioned about all these different aspects of God's character. And now we understand that this is not an exhaustive list, that there are so many other things. Again, at the end of verse 23, against such things there is no law. So this isn't it as far as the things that should be produced and should be done in us. And so there are other lists in other places. Sometimes we also define things by negation, and so we can talk about what things we are not as well as the things that we are. And Paul does that previously in chapter 5. He lists quite a few things, right, that these things are not good, that these are not the way that we should be. For me, thinking about defining things by way of negation and thinking about what gentleness is not, a beautiful example of that is in the army. And in basic training, in the relationship you see between new soldiers and their drill sergeants. Because the drill sergeants come into, you know, we refer to it as a bay, so you have an open room. It might even be as large as this room in some cases. And you have these wall lockers and bunk beds lined up in rows. And a drill sergeant will come in, and nothing about their tone, about their posture, their demeanor, attitude, can be described as gentle. They are harsh and mean and loud for a purpose, right? Because they're riling up all these new recruits and getting them to recognize that, hey, I'm not in charge anymore. I don't have a say over when I go to bed, when I wake up, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to do. everything about me and my life is owned. And those drill sergeants constantly instill that through their tone and their approach to them, and it is very harsh, and some soldiers don't take to it very well. So again, as far as gentleness goes, we have a range, not only those in authority, but also those under authority. And so you have some soldiers that are new, and they will kind of roll their eyes. Maybe they don't like being told what to do, which is crazy, right? Because they join the army. It's like, I'm escaping my parents and their authority. I'm going to join the army. Whatever. So they roll their eyes. They don't want to listen. They eventually will say something under their breath, and soon you have like 50 guys out here doing push-ups, and so you can't pick yourself up off the ground anymore. And that's because, you know, the drill sergeant's not being gentle, the new recruits not being gentle, just ends up with a lot of pain and suffering, mostly on the new recruits' part. It's not really on the drill sergeant's part. They're enjoying their time. But again, all this is done in a way that is really contrary to the way that we should be and the way that we should interact with one another and those outside of Christ. So I want to bring that up again as a way of defining something by negation. So we are not harsh. We are not demanding and assertive in the way that a drill sergeant would be. And we are not ones that are completely resistant or bucking always up against authority or those placed over us or when any guidance is offered to us to show us in a way of righteousness or goodness. So there should be this sense of meekness and humility, this sense of acceptance and consideration for others in everything that we do. By way of definition, so again, looking at different commentaries and dictionaries concerning this word in its biblical context of gentleness. Gentleness of attitude and behavior in contrast with harshness in one's dealings with others. Gentleness, meekness, mildness are all synonymous with what we're aiming to discuss here. In a number of languages, gentleness is often expressed merely as a negation of harshness, so that gentleness may often be rendered as not being harsh with people. But it's also sometimes mentioned in an idiomatic manner. For example, always speaking softly or not raising one's voice. Looking at kind of the virtue ethic. Sometimes people take this passage, looking at all these lists, and they will make these kind of like virtues that we should strive towards being more like that. We've discussed this several times, but I think it's worth reiterating that when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about something that is produced in us, something that the Spirit is doing through us. So it's not necessarily something that we put on our to-do list, be more gentle. Not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing, but understand that what God does in us is so much more powerful than we can try to manufacture or stir up in ourselves, by ourselves. And that when we're looking particularly at gentleness, that when the way this word was used, particularly with Aristotle and other philosophers, is that they were normally looking at these two different extremes concerning anger and not necessarily violence, but again, going back to that idea of harshness. And so they're like, okay, someone who is just angry all the time. So thinking about someone like hulking out, just screaming. And then you have like the inability to even be angry. Perfect peace. Now, we understand that there is a place for a range of emotions, that God expresses a range of emotion, that we are meant to express a range of emotion. It's not we're going to get rid of anger, but that what marks us, again, is this proper relationship with others, this consideration of others that allows us to be at peace and humble in a way that recognizes that even when we're in a position of authority, that we're always under authority. And when we're under authority, just as we are below God, we recognize that He places authority over us and that that is okay, that we're okay with this position, whether we are above someone or below someone, that we can be at peace with that situation. And that is really the gentleness and the meekness that is involved here. I spent some time surveying how the Bible uses this term. Looking at even in the Greek Old Testament, so talking about the Septuagint. So the way that Psalm 45:4 is translated, in your majesty, ride forth victoriously in the cause of truth. And then it mentions here humility, which is our same word that we translate as meekness or gentleness, and justice. Let your right hand achieve awesome deeds. And then again in Psalm 132, verse 1, Lord, remember David and all his self-denial. In other places in the Septuagint, would you consider them apocryphal writings? Won't go into a big discussion about that, but again, just other examples of the way the word is used, things that Paul and the others would have been aware of. So it's used in a sense of being submissive or teachable towards God, having a sense of modesty, consideration, gentleness, especially towards others. And so the way that the New Testament uses this word includes that entire range of meaning. Throw a bunch of verses at you. 1 Corinthians 4:21. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline, or shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit? And so again, Paul, referring to the Corinthians, he wants to know what should be my disposition towards you. So his desire is that he would come in love and with a gentle spirit, not that he would have to be there in a harsh way. So again, him being in a position of authority as an apostle speaking to the church, he wants to approach them again in a Christ-like and loving and gentle way in correction and in judgment, not in a harsh way. Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. And so when we're interacting with one another and we see that someone is caught in a fault, caught in sin, and that we would approach them in a way that is gentle, not that you're going to lambast them and shame them and speak harshly to them and tear them down to point out what is wrong with them, but that you would consider even yourself and that you would approach them in a way that you would want to be approached concerning their sin. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Again, we're supposed to be loving towards one another. 2 Timothy 2:25, opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. And so again, this gentle spirit and the way that we interact with one another is not something that is confined to just us. Honestly, sometimes dealing with my brother and sister, I can say that I'd probably be gentle to anybody else and not them. And so, again, sometimes we're most harsh and least considerate and least patient with those that are closest to us. Okay, so no. Be gentle with those within the church and also be sure to be gentle to those outside, because our desire for them is that, again, that they would see that character of God in us in the way that we treat them. And our hope and prayer should always be that they would be drawn to Christ through the things that we do and say, and that they would come to that same knowledge, that they would come to repentance, that they would come to faith, and that they would be amongst us. And so, again, in everyone with whom you interact, they are always, obviously, in the image of God that we should honor. And our hope is, again, that they, as the one whom Christ has died for, that they would be a part of us. And so we treat all people gently, including the ones on, like, the expressway and the parkway and when they cut you off and everything else like that. Again, that we treat them gently. That includes the people that walk in front of you randomly while you're in a grocery store parking lot and you want to just, like, lay on that horn, like, gently, 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 right? And so, again, this is something that should mark us. And when you find yourself, again, we'll talk more about this later, but when you find yourself not being gentle, or when you find yourself being harsh, to step back, again, consider ourselves first and foremost before God and pray, again, that God would work in us the kind of gentleness, the way that he approaches us. A couple more verses that focus a little bit more on the authoritative side of gentleness and being gentle with those below you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." And so the one of the most disappointing parts sometimes of explaining to other people that I'm a Christian and trying to proclaim, explain the gospel to them has been those times when someone has looked at me and they're like, "Oh, like you're a Christian?" Like, "Yes." And like, "You're someone who believes the Bible?" "Yes." And they're like, "You seem too nice to be a Christian." And I'm like, "Oh, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that's the impression that you get of us. I'm sorry that that's the reputation sometimes that precedes us, that you would think that being gentle and being considerate and being kind is excluded from Christians, when that is something that I believe should define us as Christians, as the fruit of the Spirit here does." And so again, that we would be gentle with all, and even if they are in opposition to us. So thinking about Borough Pregnancy Center and all the great work that they do to encourage those to preserve and appreciate and honor life as it should be. And that there is so much political, I guess you want to call it bipolarity, right? So people get on opposite sides of the issue concerning abortion. And sometimes that conversation can become very heated. And I think for good reason, we should be involved in that discussion as far as preserving life. Absolutely. But the way that we carry ourselves and the way that we interact with someone, especially when talking to them about something as significant as life, not only desire to preserve the life of that child, but also desire to preserve the life and the soul of the person that is in front of you, that we treat them with gentleness, and that we would encourage them, exhort them in Christ to repent and believe. That when we interact, and even if the conversation is not going our way, that we would remember that first and foremost, we should be, again, Christ-like to them. Because shoving something in their face or being harsh with them or treating them as if they are worthless, we are now committing all the things that we are encouraging them not to do. So let us not be hypocrites in the ways that we interact, but gentle. Colossians 3:12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Again, looking at the range and nuance of this word, it's almost difficult sometimes because all these words kind of flow together. And when you think of certain people and the way that they interact with the rest of the world, compassion and kind, humble and gentle and patient, all these things come together. Looking at some of the aspect of not being resistant and the ways that we respond to authority over us, when we're the one being corrected. "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." This is James 1:21. Again, that when someone is offering us correction, that we humbly accept the word that we have. And sometimes that is difficult because our desire is to fight for our own rights. Our desire is to assert ourselves as being one in control over what we think and what we say and what we do, and not wanting to accept any kind of correction, not wanting to accept any other authority rather than ourselves. But again, our example in Christ and our example as far as the Spirit is concerned working in us is to humbly and gently accept authority. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." James 3:13, "Who is wise and understanding among you, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom." Gentleness is something that was true of David and Jesus and Paul. It often occurs in a context where a person has the power to judge or power to resist. It seems most closely related to how we would understand meekness. I have the ability to crush someone or to fight back, but I'm going to choose to not do so. In this way, all of the conflict and harsh consequences that are possible from fully employing oneself to judgment or resistance are set aside. this can be a difficult thing, but I'm choosing to make it an easy thing. I could be in opposition to you, but I will instead work with you. This would certainly contrast with arrogance, but again, Jesus and Paul had the right to judge, but refused to assert themselves at times. So again, sometimes you are in that position of authority and you have the right to be harsh and to be condemning. But sometimes the benefit and the instructive nature of coming alongside someone is so much better. I can't think of really much better example than being a parent or being in charge over children, because it's like, listen, please listen. Okay, this is like the third time now, and like by the 15th or the 16th time that you're given the same point of instruction, you can lose your patience. You can lose your gentleness. But again, that again and again, we'd come back to the idea that they are under authority and we are under authority, and that we would consider that rightly. And how many times does our Heavenly Father have to tell us the same thing over and over again? And it's like, whoa. Like Micah was preaching this morning and talking about how Paul going to have to correct the Corinthians, and the idea of like bringing Jesus with me, the whole idea of coming with that kind of power and authority, and that that is a reason to respect what is being said. So when we look at those under our authority and we choose to be harsh rather than gentle, it's like, wait, let's consider for a moment how we would desire our own Heavenly Father to deal with us and take a step back. It's this forbearance that causes me to summarize the word more in the concept of meekness. When this meekness is the response of someone who would otherwise be resisting, the idea is that they would be teachable or willing to be corrected or to follow after righteousness. So again, being under authority, not just always in that position of authority. For tonight, take just a few more minutes. Jesus, in so many ways, is always the exemplar of all these things that we discuss as far as the fruit of the Spirit. And so looking at a few passages concerning him. So again, one, Jesus is gentle with his people. He relents. He has mercy. He comes alongside us rather than condemning us. So where we have this word, again, defined as not being in a judgmental sense, looking to 2 Corinthians 10:1, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away. So again, Paul looks to Jesus and says, well, you know, Jesus is humble and gentle. And so that you think of me in this sense is a good thing, that Paul wants to be seen and understood as being humble and gentle. They were misunderstanding that at some points, to think that he was timid, that he was, you know, not impressive. And we've been discussing that at length in our preaching on 2 Corinthians. But again, Paul wanted to be humble. He wanted to be gentle. Luke 6:36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Again, Jesus' exhortation to us. Looking forward then in Luke 9:51 through 56, Jesus has the opportunity to judge harshly, and he does not. Verse 51, Luke chapter 9, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. And so again, we see gentleness exemplified here in Jesus, that he had the authority, he had every right. He had the ability to do as he chose in this situation, and he chose instead to be gentle and to not fully employ what is available to him. Number two, Jesus exemplified gentleness and spirit in the way that he submitted to the Father. So again, looking at the range of this word, I think that some of the aspect of not resisting or being accepting of authority can be seen in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. So again, we have this idea of being obedient, being under authority. We see that in the life of Jesus. So looking in Luke chapter 2, where Jesus is a child, and again, parents go off, end up leaving him behind. They come back. What are you doing to us? Right? And that Jesus, at that point, though he understood, again, you know, I should be doing my father's business, but he was obedient to his parents, and he went home with them. And so again, you see Jesus accepting the God ordained again structure as far as family and his parents and the responsibility that they had over him, that he accepted that and he gently obeyed rather than resisted. He could have been like, no, this is where I need to be, this is what I need to do. Instead, he was obedient to them. Again, in Matthew chapter 17, even when you don't agree with the authority over you, Jesus was still obedient. He still was gentle in his response. Verse 24, Matthew chapter 17. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. Just want to point that out, that Peter volunteered up this information like, "Oh, yeah, sure, he does." No, he hadn't, but Peter said yes, and so now Jesus is going to address this issue. Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the children are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a four drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." So we see in here that Jesus was gentle towards those in authority. The greatest example would be in the crucifixion itself. Submitting to the Father without resistance, allowing himself to be arrested, beaten, and crucified by the Jewish and Roman authorities for crimes that he did not commit. Allowing himself to die, though he was sinless, so that this wasn't required, but he did this in line with God's wisdom and God's righteousness and in keeping with God the Father's intentions. And so again, that when we are gentle in response to authority, that we are showing ourselves to be in line with his righteousness and his wisdom, rather than in many ways asserting ourselves and trying to go above what God has put in place. Gentleness should mark us. When we're in places of authority, we should not be harsh, but come alongside those for whom we're responsible. So again, here already talking about parents, bosses, elders, like in a church context. Again, all of these places are where we have the opportunity to show and exemplify gentleness. The way that we teach, guide, and even the way that we order someone to do something should reflect the gentleness of Christ. We should pray that we would address everyone with gentleness, but especially when someone is in the wrong. We should ask that God would work in us gentleness, the kind of gentleness that we desire from him when we're in the wrong. When we're being corrected, when expectations are placed on us, and when God's way is made more clear for us, we should pray that we would be gentle, meek, and humble. That we would not resist and fight, but submit and obey in a way that honors God. Again, this is something that we can try to fix up on the outside. So I think it's often said that, you know, you should fake it until you make it. And I'll admit that there is some truth to that. Tax season is upon us, and I pray that everyone would obey the law and do everything with integrity, as we should. That we should approach even our taxes with a sense of gentleness and humility. I'll admit, I don't always feel like it. That isn't always my attitude. Depending on the time that I've spent, sometimes talking with some libertarian friends, I'm like, I'm not sure if I believe in taxes anymore. But again, as it is the law, and as that I am under the government's authority, that I shouldn't constantly be trying to resist and buck up against that authority, but that I would, in humility and with gentleness, I would respond appropriately. Okay, so anybody's wondering, yes, I have paid my taxes. I already filed them because I'm getting a refund. So it's a little bit more motivating when you know you're getting something back. So my point is that the outward action, like filing your taxes, the outward action, like, oh, you should definitely do that. That's good. That's what you're supposed to do. Do that. Obedience to the law in that sense of what is expected of you. But the fruit of the Spirit goes deeper than that outward, you know, obedience, that outward appearance of what is right. That we can dress ourselves up so that the outward action looks right, but our desire should be for God's Spirit to so work in us that our attitudes and our motives, our emotions and thoughts, that they line up in the way that they did with Christ. So that's something that we cannot fabricate. That's something that we cannot force. That is God working in us so that all those things line up and that we're honoring to God through and through, from our heart on out to everything that we do and say. And so that we should be able to sense when we're not in that way and pray that God would help us. And that we should be able to look out in our brothers and sisters in Christ, and when we see them doing those types of things, that we would praise God for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are gentle with us. Father, that we have no hope without your mercy and your love just washing us in everything that Christ has accomplished. And so, Father, we pray for gentleness. And the ways that we treat those that you have graciously put under our care, and Father, that we be gentle in the way that we respond when someone has been placed in authority over us. Father, in all of these things, that we would show you to be true and good and perfect. Father, that we would exemplify and show the love that you have for us. That we would remember that we are always under your authority. And that we would remember that in the same way that you treat us, Father, that we should treat others. Father, pray for us in this, especially for parents and their children, for teachers and their students, and especially for us in response to the government, and especially for those that are outside of Christ, that we would react and respond with gentleness that is from you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.